You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
It's like the weakest Weird Al song ever. Changing an O to an I.
No, there have been some pretty weak
Weird Al. The Night Santa Went Crazy is like a gem. I think it went platinum. Double platinum.
I think his laziest is probably Eat It, because he just removed a letter.
But he has so many food songs. There's lasagna.
Yeah. That's true. There is lasagna. My favorite ever was probably the Yoda one.
It's Yoda.
Just called Yoda?
I had that on tape.
I had it on vinyl.
I
saw Weird Al live at a radio show in Texas. It was amazing. The radio station put on a big concert with a bunch of artists.
Okay.
In a parking lot at the Dallas Music Center, whatever the fuck, or Smirnoff Center, I think it is. And
should we be recording?
We are recording.
Oh, okay. Oh. And it was incredible.
You gotta learn quick how Damon rolls.
It was incredible because he did all the parodies, and I was like 11, and I was freaking out. I was so into it. Sing along, man! What a good concert.
How about that Amish Paradise? That was another great one.
That was his biggest, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Probably.
I had a really awkward moment in like fifth grade where they had some. I think it might have been like fifth grade graduation, and we, I sang Amish Paradise, like on. It was like this karaoke sort of deal, but then that's when you realize like halfway through that I actually don't know the words. Like you think you know the words, but you only know Amish Paradise, and that's the only part of the song you know.
My elementary school wasn't allowed to play it because I was in Pennsylvania. I grew up in Pittsburgh, and there was an Amish kid somewhere in the school, and they like made some announcement that like kids couldn't talk about it. Oh, good fun.
You can't talk about the song?
Yeah, we weren't allowed to like it, it's a mess. What a mess. We had, elementary
what
school.
A mess.
We had this weird girl in our elementary school that weird girl okay. that would she would always wear dresses, and then whenever there was like
what a psycho.
But then whenever there would be like birthday parties or other celebrations or anything, she would get pulled out of school by her parents.
Oh.
Why?
I don't know.
She was Jehovah's Witness?
I think she was Jehovah's Witness and wouldn't celebrate like any of the like, well, Christmas program's not that weird, but like just any time, you know, any holiday or anything else.
That doesn't come off that weird. Yeah. She wears dresses and she's a Jehovah's Witness. if you're a kid, sure. I guess as a kid, you don't know anything.
Yeah.
Right.
You're stupid as hell.
Well, she was also weird.
Like, she was just weird.
Given us an example of her being really weird.
I'm trying to dig you out of the hole you're in, so go ahead. Give us some weird details about this girl.
You've offended
all of
our Jehovah's Witness listeners.
Right? Just one weird detail.
Let's just get past it.
No, would she smell like milk or something?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay. Smelling like milk?
That was something that went around, I don't remember. Yeah.
Really?
Kids who smell like milk.
That's the thing you can catch?
Yeah. That is the real cootie.
Well, what's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I am your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller.
Hey!
Justin Davis is here.
Hey!
As requested.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And Andrew Goldfarb is here.
He requested it, or some a fan requested it?
A fan requested it. Oh, wow, Justin.
Okay. I'm sorry. You're going to read
it. Did his wife request it?
Yeah. No, that's right. I did. So a fan on Twitter requested I be on GameScoop, but then I looked at this guy's Twitter account, and it's like a new-ish Twitter account, and like it doesn't have any followers. And I'm like, people are going to think this is me making a puppet account.
Was it I Rape People or whatever?
It was not I Rape People.
Justin's 2000th follower was an account called I Rape People that only follows him.
That is awesome.
So you must have publicly said you're anticipating 2000th followers. Yeah. So somebody made that account.
So I think someone trolled me. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so
you
good.
Were asking for it. Look how you dress. Get out of the rape joke.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, okay.
We see a lot of jerks when they rape people. That's what they say on the trial. And it's like, that's not a good defense. You're a rapist and a monster.
Yeah. I got it.
Okay.
Yeah. Over-explaining jokes with Miller. Yeah.
They call me the sledgehammer.
That's usually what Andrew does.
Yeah, that is. Explaining jokes with Goldfarb coming to start in 2013.
It's a show we've been producing for quite some time.
Yep.
GameScoop is usually a fun, lighthearted show. Unfortunately, we have to talk about some not fun news this week. It's unfortunately the biggest news this week. Cannot be ignored, but 38 Studios yesterday laid off its entire staff. 38 Studios is, of course, the developer of Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, which was released in February.
Which is great.
Yeah, it got really good reviews and sold well for a new franchise.
Wasn't it 1.5 million? Something like that?
Yeah. 1.2.
1.2, sorry. I made up that fact.
But apparently that was not good enough for the studio. They laid off their entire staff yesterday. And, of course, former Game Scooper Ryan Geddes was among those laid off. So Greg and I were talking with him yesterday, and he's, you know, he's bummed.
Our thoughts obviously. And good vibe.
Yeah, he's bummed, obviously, but, you know. He's not a downer guy. Like Ryan Geddes is a pretty optimistic guy. So.
Yeah, he probably put on some goofy looking sunglasses and listened to some crazy ass music that doesn't make any sense. Backwards talking baby, and then he's like, I'm gonna be all right. And then he did his laugh, spindly little fingers tapping together.
Yeah, I wish the listeners could see the laugh. We should make an animated GIF.
Didn't we do it once? I thought we did it at like a live show.
Yeah, but you know.
That's their own fault if you weren't at the live show.
Exactly.
Do we know? So it was over 300 people, right? 400? Yeah. 400.
It was almost 400 people.
And yeah, and that's including Big Huge, though, right?
Yes.
It was Big Huge Games was a studio that 38 acquired. And so everybody there is gone as well as 38.
Yeah.
So
Big Huge Games has done a lot of stuff over the
years.
They
were around before. Yeah.
What were they working on now? Do we know? I don't remember.
I assume Copernicus. I assume.
No. That's what 38 was working on.
That's 38 internally.
It's all very confusing. This is the weirdest thing about this whole thing. So, I remember when I interviewed 38 when they first started at Comic-Con. Yeah, my first
year. 2007.
Yeah. I interviewed R.A. Salvatore about starting this company with Schilling.
So 5 years ago.
Yeah. Then they were only talking about the MMO then, and then they brought on the Amalur. They bought Big Huge, and they got really weird, really quick. And
whatever. I can break it down for you.
Please do.
So 38 was founded by Kurt Schilling. He was a huge, huge EverQuest player.
Boston Red Sox pitcher.
I don't know.
Yeah, that is correct.
Yes. That's the sport of baseball, correct?
Yeah. And his bloody sock is in the Baseball Hall of Fame because he was bleeding during a game, but he kept pitching. And then they won, and so his bloody sock, they kept it. They didn't wash it. Anyway, sorry, continue.
That's a fun fact.
What a trooper. Yep. So Schilling was a huge, huge MMO fan, retired, decided he wanted to start a video game studio, wanted to make an MMO himself. And so that's what 38 was working on. They created this whole universe with like thousands of years of backstory.
Yeah.
And then they acquired Big Huge Games, who was already working on, you know, a third-person action, you know, semi-open world action game. And then they took that game and made it into an Amalur game. Like, it was going to be its own thing, but they changed, like, the world and the characters and stuff to fit into, so it would be in the same universe as this MMO.
I forget, because the MMO happens 2,000 years after?
Before?
Okay, okay.
But
I think it was before.
But anyway, so that's why, like,
they're all in the same universe.
A lot of people are like, oh,
well, with such a crystal clear plan, I can't imagine why this game didn't take off.
So 38 did make Amalur, but, like, only kind of. Like, really, that was a project that was already, like, mostly done, and then it came in and they launched it.
That's awesome.
And so 38, the actual internal studio, had been working on, you know, this game that's Copernicus for a long time, you know, 5-6 years. And then that catches us up to today.
And we finally...
Some facts in there that 38, of course, started in Massachusetts.
Yeah. Mm.
Then Rhode Island was like, hey, we have all these incentives. Move to Rhode Island. We're going to give you millions of dollars.
They gave them a $75 million loan to move to Rhode Island.
Yeah. And so they were like, totally, we're coming. They went to Rhode Island. They took the money. And then behind the scenes, over the last few months, things have been going very poorly in the accounting department.
Yeah. So, you know, they formed the studio 5 years ago. They work on these two games. They finally release one of them to critical and commercial success. Yeah. And then 2 months later, they're over. They're done. They lay off everybody.
Yeah. So it's horrible
mismanagement is all I can imagine.
They spent all their money and they were required to. One of the terms of their loan was they had to pay, I think it's 5% of the loan back. And they just didn't have the money. It ended up being like $1.2 million and they spent it all and didn't have it, which I don't understand how they don't. How do you not know that that's coming? Like,
yeah. And the crazy thing is that now it apparently falls in the taxpayers of Rhode Island, which is crazy.
Well, but that's like a drop in the bucket compared to like what that state budget's got to be like billions and billions of dollars. Yeah. But anyway,
still, it's only 13 square miles.
I think
thanks, Rand McNally.
Yellowstone National Park is bigger than the state of Rhode Island.
Here we go.
True story. You knew it's more Yellowstone facts. So we don't know. You know, more details are going to continue to emerge. Yeah,
someday the story will be told, and it'll be one of the not great stories, but one of the fascinating stories of the video game industry.
At what point did they know everything was going to hell? That's the question, right?
Well, and it seems like it doesn't matter. Amalur could have done absolutely triple the gangbusters that it did.
Goldfarb told me yesterday that it needed $3 million to break even.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, again, we're going to get more details later, but right now who sounds like the villain is the governor of Rhode Island.
Yep.
Absolutely. So they invested in this video game company not really knowing anything. Like, he called Amalur a flop.
Yeah.
And that game sold 1.2 million copies as a new IP late in a console generation.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a flop. Like, that's
not something we would consider a flop at all.
Yeah.
So it sounded like he had unrealistic expectations.
Well, and it sounds like, he said, they were having discussions about whether to give them more money. Like, you got to make a choice. Like, do we double down or do we just cut it off? And they chose to cut it off because they made the determination that they didn't think Copernicus would ever,
Which is a good call, probably.
Well,
They put out that footage
I know that's stupid. MMOs are huge. Don't bother writing into GameScoop. But I'm saying they're not going to have this,
But it was an
Gajillion crossover, blah, blah, blah.
It's like even Star Wars is having a hard time.
Exactly.
Right?
It's
an MMO that was created, that was conceptually, come up with at the height of World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And that's just not.
And then, look at it this way. World of Warcraft's out and it's doing great.
Yeah.
Then the greatest MMO of all time, DC Universe, comes out. It does pretty good.
Yeah.
Not great, though. The bubbles popped. We got trouble.
Yeah, it was bizarre. The governor held a press conference yesterday.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how much the game should have sold and calling it a failure. That's so weird.
Like, it's been weird to have the governor's been the driving force behind all this, dragging everything out into light. When they brought in the check, they didn't have any money in the bank. They were by the way, we're returning this check.
But that's what's so weird. Like, this dude held a press conference. He's been making all these details public. But then every question during the Q&A, the press conference, he was like, we can't comment on our employers or employees and the current situation.
I definitely think there's enough blame to go around. The management of 38 defaulted on their loan payment, which kicked this off. And I'm like, you knew for months and months and months that you were going to have to make this loan payment. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah. Just one more quick thing. The interesting thing to me is that so the actual studio, 38 Studios, has not technically filed bankruptcy yet.
They still exist.
Yeah. So, who are the remaining employees?
On top of that,
and we haven't even mentioned Todd McFarlane, how he was involved in all this.
Well, yeah.
The other thing is that I think EA owns the IP because EA's statement was from their president was oh, we really appreciate the work that 38 Studios did. Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning was an amazing game, and we hope there can be a sequel one day or something.
This is in response to the layoffs?
Yes, that was their statement.
You look at it this way. I mean, we're talking about the governor talking out his ass, not understanding what a video game success is. EA, better than anyone, understands what success is. And I don't know what's happening there. I could easily see if EA is feeling generous. Oh, sure. Everybody from 38 Studios, come. We'll start a studio. There you go. Go work wherever. Yeah. EA, Vancouver, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
And then they go that. Or they pass it off to one of their other studios and they keep the name.
Yeah.
Because, again, as much as we're all... This is a big story for us right now. For what, 70% of that 1.3 million, 2 million? Those copies, they don't understand that what's happening right now.
Yeah.
If you put out another Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, they're going to go, Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, who the hell is this developer? Rebellion, I've never heard of them.
Oh, no, not Rebellion.
Wow.
That was confidence, ladies and gentlemen.
Sexy.
Andrew Goldfarb, 10 minutes ago, couldn't hold on to that cup at my desk, and now he's shooting ice and coffee across the room.
I had a vision of just iced coffee spilling, just exploding everywhere.
Sassy Goldfarb's coming up for Final Friday.
That's true. He's here. He has arrived.
Well, it's a sad, baffling story, but, you know, hopefully the team that was laid off, they launched a good, successful game. So I have to imagine most of them will be snatched up somewhere.
Yeah.
The coolest thing about this, if there is a cool thing about this, is the reaction, I think, of the industry in the way of, holy shit, this game was awesome. This sucks that this is happening. There's a Google document right now circulating that has all, like, what was it?
Job.
It's like 32 companies with over 2,000 jobs now that they're calling. It's like if you hashtag Twitter 38 jobs, it's, you know, hey, go look at this so these people can land on their feet and try to find something, which is really, really a cool way to see people come together.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome. And even like Cliffy B has been tweeting out like individually at 38 Studios people like, hey, we're hiring. Like, I thought that was cool.
Yeah. That's good. And so I saw, Telltale Games did that yesterday too.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So did Xbox.
Nice.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. People should definitely read the details on IGN because there's a lot more than we can even get into here. There was crazy, like, information came out about the crazy bonuses that Salvatore and McFarlane got, just millions and millions of dollars.
Do we have those details on IGN? I haven't seen those.
They will be later today.
Okay.
By the time this posts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You bet this podcast in there, you'll be all set.
And we'll be seeing Geddes at E3 in just a couple weeks. So.
We are just going to laugh and laugh and laugh at him. How you doing, you skinny fuck? I'm not going to laugh at him. Well, I probably will, but not for this.
No.
I'm going
to
shake
I used to laugh at him a lot.
Also, ongoing is this lawsuit between Activision and Infinity Ward.
Yep.
As a result of which, we've gotten crazy details about Activision's deal with Bungie.
Yes.
And the new games that Bungie is making for Activision.
Yeah. Well, that's what's so cool about this trial is, like, there all these documents are coming out. Like, number one, just the actual documents from the real trial revealed that, like, Zampella and West would have made almost $26 million in bonuses, or more than $26 million
in bonuses.
Yeah, $13 million each, which was crazy. But yeah, as a side effect of that, Activision had to make, like, all of their documents from 2010 public, and that was the year that Bungie signed a 10-year exclusive deal with them. So we got all these insane details about Destiny, which is their next shooter. It's multi-platform. Sounds cool.
Like, what kind of details, Andrew?
Some crazy ones, Justin. the contract is crazy. Like, I mean, I don't know if we'll get into all of it here, but there are some, like...
But then, like, a trilogy of games. Like,
MMO, right?
I'm sorry, yeah.
It is MMO.
No, there's a rumor that it was a first-person MMO, but that's, like, 2 years old. We don't know.
Okay.
But the only details in the contract...
made for consoles. I can't... MMO seems... That's like a stretch, but
the details in the contract are that there are four games, so it'll be 2013, 2015, 2017, 2019, and then in the off years they're downloadable 2019. Expansions.
Yeah, I know. So, they put a 10-year plan.
Where will we be?
I'll be dead.
Yeah, Justin
you
will
and
be
I'll
dead.
Be in the floating podcast room, Jetson style. Goldfarb will be dead.
I'll be maintaining
dome.
Your grave, cleaning off the dirt. Yeah, and then in the off years, in the even-numbered years, there will be downloadable expansions. And the contract is so crazy because it goes into next-gen. So it's like they're contracted to develop for Xbox 720 and PlayStation 4 as well as PC. So all this stuff will be multi-platform.
What's funny to me about this are all just the little details in the contract about they get a bonus if the game achieves, you know, 90% average review score or higher. You know, they get a several million-dollar bonus. Bungie has this classic shooter franchise called Marathon, but only 5% of their staff is allowed to work on Marathon. Like, they're really specific about that. And if Destiny doesn't make, you know, however many millions of dollars, they can't release Marathon.
Yeah, 370. If it doesn't hit 375 million, even if Marathon is completed, it can't be published.
And, like, just a lot of weird stuff like that. Yeah. Who are the studios? So
Epic, Valve, and Gearbox.
Right. So the big thing about this contract that a lot of people are missing, I think, is they're like, why would Bungie sign this deal? They're locked into this crazy 10-year contract. But the answer is that they get to keep the Destiny intellectual property. So basically, Activision is giving them money to build something that they still own at the end of the day. Like, that's the reason why they would sign this contract, is they can, if they want to do novels or, you know, whatever they want to do, Bungie
toys.
Owns. Yeah, toys.
I want some Destiny toys, Damon.
But here's the one thing. Like, yes, they will own it, but so they're until 2018, they cannot develop any other shooters. They can only work on Destiny. And then even if they make one in 2018, it's not allowed to be published until 2021. And then Activision gets first rights on it. At the end of every single clause in the whole contract, it's like Activision gets first rights.
I mean, I think if you're if you're an independent studio, which Bungie is, even though they're huge, you know, they're still an indie. You know, what you want for yourself, for that studio, is security, right? You want to be secure and everyone's jobs are secure and you have a plan. It's like a lot of these indie studios, when they finish one project, and it's like, oh, they really have to scramble and try to sell their next project to a publisher. So the Activision agreement is, it's a little bit like, man, they really, they've bent Bungie over a barrel a little bit, but in some ways they're secure for the next 10 years.
Like, for sure.
That's true.
There are funny details though. Like, my favorite details are, every year, every Bungie employee can pick 2 Activision games to receive as a gift.
Yeah. That's in the contract.
And, like, there's way funnier ones than that. There's, like, they have to report every Easter egg they put in before it's certified. And then,
that's right.
And then Activision has to report back to them in case they add any after that.
Like, yeah, that's the weirdest thing. It's in the contract that you must give us a list of all Easter eggs you put in your game.
So weird. Yeah, they really negotiate everything. There's like, and they're aiming for a teen rating, which I thought was interesting, because every Halo game except for Halo Wars is M rated.
Yeah, but I always thought that Halo was a pretty soft M.
Yeah,
like, I agree. It was a little. I always thought it was weird that they were M to begin with.
Yeah,
that's, I mean, they're compared to like Gears of War or even Call of Duty. Like,
it's, how many T rated first person shooters are there? I mean, like something like where the primary activity of the game is looking down your sights and shooting people in the face.
So. I think Halo, you know, if it was Green Blood instead of Red Blood, it could have been T.
I mean, that could be it. I could see that.
It's just not very violent. Like, it's, yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm sure more interesting stuff will continue to come out of this lawsuit.
It definitely will.
Bonkers week.
This video games industry, I tell you, Damon. Always something.
We talked about XCOM being delayed. There's 2 XCOM games coming out. The first person shooter keeps getting delayed. Yeah. And you won some sort of a bet.
Yeah. Over. Remember on GameCube, we bet me and the Anthony. Chef money there.
Yeah.
A pizza, I believe. Mm. That XCOM would indeed get pushed back.
Yeah.
And it did again.
And you were right, and then it got.
I know, I was totally right. It was possible that it could happen because it was fiscal year that they were talking. Mm-hmm. And then it got pushed back way to like 2013, possibly.
Why would he have taken that bet?
Because he was confident. He was super confident that it was going to make it. Oh, yeah, he's stupid.
Now it might even come in 2014, which is insane.
Or that.
Or maybe not at all.
That's probably my bet at this point. Agree.
Yeah.
But this other XCOM game, Enemy Unknown, is still coming out this year, and you recently played it, Greg.
And it's good.
Yeah,
like that's the thing. I've been poisoned, I think, on the XCOM, because we've been talking about it for 2.5 years, and I'm sick of talking about it, because I didn't like the first-person shooter demo we saw at IGN.
I did.
And then it disappeared. It disappeared forever. No, that's fine. It disappeared forever, and then we keep talking about it getting delayed, and I was like, well, whatever. And then they announced another one, this Enemy Unknown thing, and I was like, whatever, I don't give a crap. And then I got assigned to see it at E3, and I went in there, or pre-E3, and I went in there, I was like, oh, all right. And then I played it. It was awesome.
This is the tactical one, right?
This is the four, you have a 4-man squad, you know, not top, a little, what is it, they call it a 3/4 top-down, you know what
isometric.
I mean? A little isometric, there you go. And yeah, it's turn-based, like a Valkyria Chronicles kind of thing, move them around, shoot some aliens. You level you guys up. You get to name each one of your guys.
Yeah.
And then if death really dies. I'm gonna name each one of you guys in the game.
Exactly.
And then I'll have to level you up and change your costumes. And then I'll make sure you don't die. And if you die, we'll have to have a little ceremony.
Justin will just be cannon fodder.
Exactly. Justin, I will send out every time that I just don't give a crap.
He names everyone he wants to kill Justin.
Justin number 23. But no.
Well, that's good. That's good news. Yeah. Because so I did not play the original XCOM game, even though I know that I would love that game if I got the chance.
It was one of those things. I wasn't blown away by I say in my preview, like, I wasn't blown away by the way the characters look. They look kind of genericish.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the art style.
But I'm thinking, I mean, first off, I'm top down most of the time, or isometric, and you know, as you level them up, get better armor and better gear. So I think it's just that I had the basic guys, and that's why it didn't look awesome. But definitely exciting. It's really cool.
And isn't there some weird? You can talk about whatever you want with this game, right?
From what I've seen,
okay. Yeah. But I mean, okay.
There shouldn't be, to my knowledge, anything somebody's saying in the office that's embargoed.
So
this is the trip. This is our life right now, leading up to E3.
So you know, you have the battle mode where it's turn based and you move your guys around. And it's all tactical. But isn't there some like overarching thing where you have access to like the world and there's some weird like?
Yes. Well, you go back when you go back to your base in between missions.
Right.
It's a Shadow Complex like map, like pulled out wherever you have a base cut in half and you can see it all the different departments and you go to research and I want you working on this. Here's your resources, get your new weapons.
And can't you choose what hot zone you
want to
go?
Exactly. You go to the situation room and they'll be like, all right, like my demo was, all right, damn it, I'm going to break your heart here. But for the aspects of the demo, I had to choose where to go. And they told me I could only choose this one place. So they took me to the situation room and I'm like, bad things are happening right now in Shanghai and in Kansas City, Missouri.
No.
Where do you want to go save?
You didn't save?
I had to. They said I had to go to Shanghai for the demo. So I had to let Kansas City burn to the ground. But when you're doing that and you pull back, it's basically the United Nations is the overarching body. So you see the level of fear in each country, and then they're like, you know,
that's awesome.
Interest or belief in the project, like your XCOM force.
Yeah.
And so if I was to continue to ignore America and let their cities go away, they would eventually, they'd give me less and less money, less and less resources. The populace would be super panicked, and then eventually they would just like, we're out, we're going to deal with this on our own. You aren't catering to our needs.
That's really hot. I really love little details like that, or like metagame details.
Yeah, totally,
like
totally.
That. And that's something that some companies, like, not that it's easy to do, like it takes time and you have to think about it, but I wish companies would go that extra mile. And I think about like Blizzard. I played StarCraft 2 pretty casually, but like that's how that game works. You know, to upgrade your shit and go to missions, you wander around your ship, like your capital ship.
Yeah.
Like that's way cooler than just like picking a menu, picking a level from a menu.
Right.
When you were talking about Kansas City burning, that reminded me of
Tech Nine.
The only time I've ever cried in a movie theater, this is a weird story. I've never told anyone this.
I'm glad you're choosing this moment.
So I snuck into Starship Troopers with one of my friends. And there's that scene where he calls home, and his parents are like, oh, like, Johnny, just come home. It's fine. And they're like, oh, what's that in the sky? And then their whole fucking town burned, and his parents died. Man, that I was like way too young to be seeing that movie, and that, like, fucked me up pretty bad.
I have three crying stories.
That movie's so great.
Have I ever told these on GameScoop?
I don't know.
Number one was when I was a kid and I watched Harry and the Hendersons at home.
That's really
when John,
cool.
When John Lithgow slaps Harry and tells him
to leave. We all agree. Niagara Falls for everybody that sees that movie.
Shit as a kid.
Yeah.
Then the
was
first
the one
time,
on a date?
No, I was out with friends.
Okay.
But I was too old to be crying. It was Independence Day when the first lady passes away and Bill Pullman comes out and he's like, is mom? And the girl's like, is mommy sleeping? He's like, yes.
I want to go back to what year did Independence Day come out?
I don't know. 94,
I'm trying to figure out how old you were.
2007.
I don't recall. I'm bad at that.
Were you like 15 or 16?
I don't think I wasn't in high school yet because I went with a grade school friend. We were probably like 7th, 8th, maybe 6th grade, somewhere in there. Now, the one that I for sure should not have cried at was for sure too old, and this is really a bad one. I was at home, this is during high school for sure, at home on like a Friday night watching Extreme Ghostbusters. And at one point they go into the containment unit, and Slimer gets possessed by another ghost in there and bites into Eduardo's oxygen tank, and he dies in there. And that made me cry. It was a touching scene.
At home, I cried during that Futurama episode, Jurassic Bark.
Well,
that's
sure.
Fucking brutal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's the one with the dog where he waits for Fry forever because he's getting it into the future.
And then the series finale of 6 Feet Under, cried like a fucking baby. Best series finale of all time.
I haven't seen him.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Sure, it's very good. I prefer The Shield, but sure.
Well, also an amazing series finale.
I gotta watch that too.
Yeah. I get more misty eyed during like happy scenes, like during where Jesus, I can't speak.
Xenowar Princess.
No, my wife and I are rewatching Lost. Is the sentence I was trying to speak? And
just stop before the end.
Sad scenes I'm never like misty eyed, but like if it's like a happy like a reunion, like Jin and Son are finally like seeing each other again for the first time in years. And like moments each like season. That I'm sentimental.
I got sentimental during The Office when Pam and Jim finally got married.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah. Which should have been the finale of the series.
Yes.
Hands down.
No, that's I liked it when Michael left. I thought that was good. That was handled very well.
Yeah, that should have
been that one moment was handled well, but again the lead up to it was just like so flat of just like that whole
And that show now is a fucking just ended. Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it is so.
They are ending it, right? They are ending
it. Take it out back
no,
and shoot it.
They just renewed it. Like,
oh, I thought they were ending.
No, that show's going to go on until 2097.
There's rumor. Yeah, Kelly left, and then there was rumors that they were going to reboot it and basically take everybody out like Scrubs and bring in new people.
Because
like,
that worked so well for Scrubs.
Has that ever worked in the history of time?
No, Saved by the Bell: The New Class went on for a while,
but it had Screech.
Sure. Well, yeah, what I'm saying, you still have some. You still have some. Touchstones.
It'll be like
Screech onto The Office.
Yeah.
Remember that story about somebody trying to steal Screech's PSP? I wrote that news story for IGN.
So good. I remember reading.
He had a quote of something like, "No one steals the D-Man's games" or something like that.
He made a porn.
I didn't see that. I don't think I need to see that.
You don't need to see that, probably.
Justin and I watch it all the time.
Uh, our last news story this week is today a Zone of the Enders sequel has apparently been confirmed by Kojima. Not terribly interesting news to me, but the thing that stood out to me is that it apparently has the code name Enders Project, which is like a code name means it's supposed to be in code, yeah. Like undecipherable and secret. What could Enders Project possibly be?
I know. I feel like that had to be, because this is translated from a Japanese report. I feel like
maybe
that had to be like.
Yeah, maybe that's the wrong word. Yeah, for that's sure. Not what they actually meant.
But, yeah.
Here's the thing. I was never a Zone of Enders fan.
Yeah.
But I respect the franchise fine. I don't understand why people are so excited about this. They announced Mark Ryan.
Yeah,
is.
Mark Ryan. Mark Ryan.
And I saw Adam Seltzer tweeting about it.
He has very niche tastes.
True. But I mean, they announced the Zone of Enders HD collection at E3 last year, and we've heard nothing about it.
Yeah.
They tried to make Metal Gear Solid Rising, and it totally exploded in their face. Like, why? Everybody knows from GameScoop, I love Metal Gear Solid, the series. And, like, I am so over everything right now from Kojima and Konami. Like, fucking make the game. Stop talking about them and do something.
I agree.
They're transferring.
To be fair.
They're transferring all the datas.
To be fair, this announcement actually came from an event about the HD collection.
Okay.
So they announced the release date and all that shit in Japan.
Though.
So they just added this extra detail.
Okay. Well, here's
Rising
my prediction.
Is still a mess, but I'm
a year and a half from now, still going to be talking about. Yeah. Oh man, can't believe Zone of the Enders 2 is happening.
Yeah, I agree.
They announced
the
freaking trophy icons.
It's three. Yeah.
Yep. Anyway,
I think the real lesson here is that if Mark Ryan wishes for something to happen badly enough, then he basically wills it into being. I think
that's true.
So look for Krusty Demons 2 next year.
Is he a fan of Krusty Demons?
Yes.
He tweeted that this morning.
Yeah.
Interesting. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
This is Leon. He says...
Kennedy?
Yeah.
Nope.
He says, hello there.
Sick of taking care of this dumb blonde.
The president's daughter.
I was thinking the guy from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, me too. It's so funny that you said that. Yeah. Okay. JB Smoove. Guy's the best.
I don't know who that is. And I watch Curb. I just don't know who this person is.
He's the guy who moves in with Larry and Cheryl.
Oh, okay. Caught him.
I haven't watched Curb in a long time. Is that show still going?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, every year it's the final season, then they renew it. So it was like everyone thought it was going to end with the Seinfeld season, and then they renewed it, and they'll probably do it again.
Is it still good?
Yeah.
I was in last season. Look out for me in Ricky Gervais' scene.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, last season was awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. It was in New York. It was awesome.
Michael J. Fox is a great New Yorker. He's trying to put Parkinson's out of business. I'm throwing you out of town.
Yeah, and the bowing scene with the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, okay.
All right, I'm sorry.
You watch Boardwalk?
Oh, yeah.
Boardwalk's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just watching Boardwalk now. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it's great. Are you in season one or two?
One.
Okay.
Almost ready to finish season one.
I hate it when you do this to me.
I know.
There's so much I want to talk to you about. But
I can't. I was telling Andrew this morning, I love the sniper guy. He's
so
good. He's awesome.
I love that character.
Totally amazing.
Anyway, Leon says, hello there, masters of IGN. I'm a longtime listener to GamesCube. I just want to know how I could meet you guys. I'm guessing that showing up in front of IGN on a random day isn't going to work.
Don't do that.
Please let me know of any incoming opportunities. I live in Arkansas, but that won't be a problem. I will pay for a ticket and fly out as far as I... Whatever. Anyway, Greg, how can you come meet us?
You have many ways. I'm going to break in the GameScoop. I got to get the short URL here.
Yeah.
The first Friday of every month, we have a thing called First Fridays, where you come and you tour the office. You get a guy to tour of every department. You get free cheese pizza. You come in the podcast room. You see the studio. There's a Q&A at the end with editors and other people from other departments.
You can look in the podcast room while Justin records his podcast and stare at him.
That's how it's been the last several weeks.
Yeah, yeah. So there's that. Up at Noon records every Thursday in front of a live studio audience. You can come to that. That URL is
just make it a long weekend and come for both.
Exactly. Yeah, plan that. go.ign.com/upatnoon. Let me dig up the first Friday one.
And then on Saturdays, I host a hug party where you can come hug me.
in your apartment.
Yeah.
In my
Nobody
bed.
Nobody has ever come.
The other one, obviously, is that we try to have... I mean, it's going to change every time, but we have a presence at Comic-Con, at PAX, at...
Yeah,
there's one I'm forgetting. Oh, New York Comic Con.
That's going to be my suggestion. Is find a conference that's open to the public so you can go have a bunch of fun, seeing non-IGN stuff and then hang out with us too.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on.
Come to PAX or come to Comic Con or.
Oh, that's a shitty.
That's
link.
A Greg just said.
Here's the easiest. I'm going to tell you. I'll read off the real.
Reiterating.
I'll read off the link. But if you just Google IGN First Friday, there's a Facebook post that pops up that has photos, and then at the bottom it's got this short link: go.ign.com/. L1JLDX. There might be a go.ign.com for
How could you not remember that?
Yeah, maybe we can get that fixed.
All right.
This is Daniel Montez.
That's a good name.
He says, I'm writing to ask if there's ever been a licensed track in a game you've played, and immediately had to go and find out who it was and buy it. The most recent one for me was M4 by The Fonts at the end of Mass Effect 1.
Mm. Mine was, there's this song called, I'm not going to remember, there's a song called New York Minute by some Canadian band that was in like one random year of FIFA that my roommate played every day for so long, and then when I didn't live with him anymore, it would be in my head, and then I had to track it down and download it.
Yeah, I've always thought the SSX games had really, really good music, and I discovered lots of, you know, sort of indie, or like, I don't listen to it so much anymore, but a lot of, like, sort of punk-type music.
Punk-type. So, I always discover great music through the Grand Theft Auto games.
Yes, always have amazing music.
Every Grand Theft Auto game I've found really good music through. And then that same thing happened to me with Saints Row the Third last year. That had a great soundtrack as well.
I will say that Grand Theft Auto, because I used to listen to a lot of Kanye West, and then when Flashing Lights was in Grand Theft Auto,
me too.
I couldn't listen to it anymore because I heard it every fucking day
for so long. I did it backwards. Like, I already listened to Kanye a lot, and then it was in GTA, and I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I really liked, and I like DJ Atomica and SSX too.
Mm. The new SSX has an awesome soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. It really does.
Yeah.
This is Casey Gibbons. It says, I have a question concerning Diablo 3.
Diablo.
I think only Justin in here is playing it. But okay. I'm playing. Oh, Greg
played it. I've started. I got a level 7, 8, something like that.
Yeah, really? We quested together briefly.
We did. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing so many Vita reviews, I haven't been able to actually put the time in.
You're just turning up everywhere. You turned up in Ironside this morning.
I did.
Yep, that's me.
That coffee shop.
You never
shop.
Know where I'll be next.
Right across Diablo, the street from the office.
Shop across the street from my desk.
No, Mitch and I were there having a conversation, and I turned around, and Greg popped up. But he had already been there. It was weird. Sorry, continue about Diablo.
Casey says, I am a console gamer. I prefer consoles, so I want to know if you think Diablo will come on Xbox 360 anytime soon.
No.
I want to play so badly, but I want to know if I should just buy a graphics card and it for the PC, or if I should wait.
So, Blizzard originally said that they were trying, you know, they...
We know that they're at least, like, experimenting with...
They were working with it and wanting to do it. I would be, despite what Blizzard says, I would be very surprised if that game came to consoles.
Especially soon. Like, it could eventually. It's not going
to
be soon.
A Diablo game will come to consoles, but I do not think it will be soon.
Oh, I don't even know. But I don't even know that I agree.
Well, this is my lock of the week. So take it to the bank.
Really? I will bet you a pizza on that, but we need to set some terms.
Yeah, that's
but
the problem.
You should know,
terms,
Justin.
Right?
This gen. How
no,
about that?
No, I refuse to take that
fuck.
Bet.
Like, what? What's the bet then? Like,
what? A year from now, it's next gen. What do we
within
care?
The next decade? Like,
you should know that they have hired.
Just to everybody.
Okay. They did hire people. On, like, they had job listings up. Like, there are people theoretically working on, full-time working on a console adaptation of Diablo. It's just that it's been years already. So
the second half of this question is, my suggestion would be, unless you want to play it.
Torchlight.
Yeah, so you can get, that's right, you can get Torchlight on XBLA.
So I've been playing Torchlight while you fools have been playing Diablo. And I've been having a blast. That game is awesome.
Torchlight is,
and I'm sure it's just like the poor man's Diablo, but it's very, very good.
Torchlight is super, super good. You're right. But what I was gonna say was, Blizzard does a very, very good job, especially compared to a lot of other PC developers, of making their stuff scale really well. So even if you have an old computer, you know, look up the specs. There's a good chance that you won't need to do like crazy graphics card, and like, it runs on my laptop. I'm playing Diablo on a laptop. So
this is Justin Hamilton.
Are you guys brothers?
I don't think that's how that works.
My name is Justin. I'm a 16-year-old gamer from Missouri.
Yay!
Yeah.
Justin, remember, Greg did not want to save your hometown.
Midwest.
Well,
Kansas
City. We don't lose anything at Kansas City. Nah. Kansas City would be like, oh man, Gates Barbecue's gone. Nothing. No more Minsky's Pizza. A shame.
I look forward to your podcast every week. Here are my questions. When you were 16, what was your favorite video game, movie, and album?
Oh my god.
How have they changed? Mine are Portal 2, The Dark Knight, and Nirvana's Nevermind.
Those were mine too when I was 16.
Yes.
I mean, it's interesting. Like, Nirvana's Nevermind very well could have been my favorite album when I'm 16. I am interested in seeing how you guys have changed over the years. So, I was 16 in 1994. And that's the year, so I don't know what my favorite game like of all time was then, but that's the year that Super Metroid came out.
Boom!
And that's definitely one of my favorite games.
That's
also the year that Pulp Fiction came out. Which started my...
1994 was a crazy movie year. Yeah, that was the year of the crazy Oscars where, like, every single one of them should have won. It was, like, Four Weddings and a Funeral. It was Shawshank Redemption, Pulp Fiction. Mm. That was, like, the best... Sorry, I'm going to shut up. But, yeah, good year.
And then my favorite record around that time didn't come out that year, but it's probably Faith No More's Angel Dust. It came out a couple years before.
So, Justin, I'm going to tell you, you think when you're 16, oh, I'm very young, everything's going to change. But the truth is, I like my favorite game and favorite album and a lot of that stuff, like you're already becoming the person you're going to be for the rest of your life. So my favorite game is still Super Metroid, and it was when I was 16. What was the other one, album? Well, my favorite album at the time was Dookie, and so I can't really claim that's true anymore.
That wouldn't be that crazy if it still were. I mean,
is that true? Like,
it's a great important album.
When you were 16?
Yeah.
So you were 16 in 2003?
No. What?
Dookie was not 2003.
No, I know, but I'm saying...
So you're not even right to begin with. Dookie came out when I was probably about 12.
Dookie came out sometime in the 90s, but I'm just saying you were 16. I'm just saying I thought you were later than that. Sorry.
Thank you for derailing the podcast. I was 16 in 1999. I'm with Justin, I guess. Like, my favorite game was probably still Metal Gear Solid. I was already playing that, right? I would have been playing that.
Around was then, yeah.
And Pinkerton was probably my favorite album.
Yeah,
still,
that's a good choice.
My favorite movie at the time might have been Mallrats. It went back and forth between Mallrats and Ghostbusters for a long time.
Yeah. I didn't have a favorite movie until Fight Club came out, and that was my first, like, favorite movie, but I think I was, like, 17, maybe. 17 or 18, so...
Greg, did you notice on the Yammer today, Rochelle posted a photo about Pablo that had to do with Ghostbusters?
No, I haven't gotten to Yammer
but
yet.
Her, what she wrote under the photo was, "Who you going to call?"
What, you didn't let Andrew answer?
Oh, I'm sorry.
He doesn't understand the question.
2004? No, I was 16. So I was 16 in 2003. So I was way over Dookie by then.
Fucking okay.
You were on your hoverboard.
No, that's
you give your answer then. Like, that was
no. I honestly don't remember. I don't know. I'm gonna pass and I'll post it on Twitter later.
My definitive memory of I 16. I had a car. I got to drive for the first time, so I drive back and forth to high school. And I remember. I always think of when I hear a Blink-182 song. Listening to Blink-182 on my little Discman in my car on my way with the windows down in spring to go play one of the SmackDown games. Because it was like I had just gotten in. That would be my thing every day, like driving home so ready to fucking play wrestling games.
That's a good point. I listened to a lot of Andrew WK in high school.
Yeah.
Now, I was never a Blink-182 fan, but I know that they had an album that had a hot girl on the cover. Hot
Blonde. That was the first one, Anima of the State.
And then did you see recently making the rounds was that girl today?
Yeah, she's tattoos all over her neck and she looks terrible.
The years have not been kind.
I saw a similar picture, but it was the woman that starred in Top Gun and Tom Cruise. And it was today.
Oh, it's crazy.
And she looks like an old lady.
And he looks
very similar. And Val Kilmer looks like he ate Val Kilmer. Like Val Kilmer is like twice as big as he was, and that lady looks really old, and Tom Cruise looks the same.
Yeah, but Val Kilmer is still awesome, even though he's heavy.
Oh, of course.
So. He's crazy. Sure. Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's actually a good point. I guess I probably was listening, like, Blink-182, Newfound Glory, that kind of shit.
Yeah. Justin says, I'm also interested in Greg's wing recipe.
Okay.
In the last podcast, Beyond, he talked about how it was the first thing he made after picking up groceries.
Yeah. So you get the wings. You get a thing of wings. I get Foster Farms wings, but any wings will do. If I'm feeling crazy, I'll go to Andronico's because they have really good meats.
Yep.
So you get the wings. Then you need to get a teaspoon of salt, a tablespoon of vegetable oil. You put the wings in a bowl.
Can they eyeball those amounts? Is that okay?
I use pretty much whatever you want. I don't care. And then you preheat the oven to 420. Usually what you do, 425. I like them crispy, so I go 435. Line a baking sheet with tin foil, spray it with Pam or whatever your choice is. You mix the salt, the wings, the veggie oil. Then you have a cup of flour in a plastic bag. Dump the wings into the plastic bag. Shake them up to cover them with the flour. Open the bag. Knock off the excess flour. Put them on the baking sheet. Put them in for 20 minutes at 435. At 20 minutes, you pull them out, flip them over.
I can't believe you have all this memorized.
I made it last night, Damon. And that's the second time this week. Put it back in for another 20 minutes on the other side. Pull them out. They'll be golden and brown and delicious. And then toss them in your favorite wing sauce.
Is that the recipe you used at the Walking Dead party a while ago?
It is, yeah.
Oh, and so they're very good.
Yeah. What's your wing sauce of choice? So give me a couple options. I want, like, the mass market. You can buy this at any supermarket. Okay.
Frank Red Hot.
And then do you have like a special?
I do have some private reserves from Missouri, CJ's Hot Wings on Twitter. I love their sauce, so I have that in the fridge that I'll mix in sometimes with the Franks.
If it's a special night.
Exactly.
If Greg's feeling down.
Right now I'm down to just the super hot. So I put a little bit in the Franks and mix that up if I feel like a hot wing.
We have there's a taco dip that I really, really love to make, but you have to make it with a packet of Fiesta Ranch. It's meant for like dressing, but if you mix it with sour cream, it makes a good taco dip. But you can't, like, I don't think they sell it anymore. And so I'm starting to panic. Like, I don't know. I'm thinking about like going going on Amazon and like buying like 100 packs of them. Then I'll just
isn't that weird how you can go on Amazon and buy things they don't make anymore? Like, are they just sitting in a warehouse? Well, like, are they safe to eat?
You could like eventually you won't be able to buy them on Amazon anymore. Yeah. I'm assuming
Amazon has discontinued Pop-Tart flavors that they haven't made since like 2009, and I'm like, do I want to order this? Like,
yes. That's gross.
No, it's pretty great. Like, if you just want an NES controller, you can get it on Amazon for like $5.
What did we do before Amazon? God, it's crazy.
I know. This is Nick. It says, a few weeks ago you were asked about what are good open world games. This is a follow-up question.
Ooh.
Which game would you recommend, Just Cause 2 or GTA 4?
Ooh, interesting.
It depends.
So what kind of world do you want? Do you want a more realistic one or a more fucking batshit crazy, blow everything up and have fun doing that?
That's it depends on how guided you want your experience to be. GTA 4 is an open world, but really it's kind of linear. Like, you go from mission to mission.
Go to there. Go to there.
It is telling a story.
Very story driven.
Just Cause is not really telling a story. You're just blowing up this island, and it's great.
Cause
it's
chaos on the island.
It's great, great fun. For my money, I enjoy Just Cause 2 a lot more than GTA 4.
But I want to get back to Just Cause.
See, I'm the other side, so I wanted the story, and I like the narrative, so I'd say GTA. Mm. But I don't think you can go wrong with either one.
Yeah. You get full frontal male nudity in GTA.
Yes.
Only if
you do the DLC.
That's Bally Gay Tony, right?
Yeah. No.
It's in the first one.
No, it's in Lost in the Damned.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Lost in the Damned's great.
Yeah. I thought both of those DLC episodes were fun.
I can never get through Gay Tony for some reason. I kept buttering out.
See, it's weird for me because I'm bad at open world games. Like, I fucking love open world games, but I never do missions. I just drive around. I'm so excited for Spider-Man. Like, I just can't wait.
Well, Spider-Man will be. It won't be super, super open world, I bet. We've played it, and we know there's missions around there, but it's not going to be like... I doubt it's going to be like, swing around for 3 hours.
You saw what I did. You saw how I played it. All I wanted to do was swing around for like 10 hours. That's all I did for Spider-Man 2. So good.
Anyway.
our preview for Spider-Man goes up on the Monday of E3. So look for it then. There's an Up at Noon episode that'll have a lot of exclusive content too.
YouTube.com/start.
There you go.
This is Tim.
Hey, Tim.
He asks, what browsers do the Scoop crew use? I use Mozilla Firefox.
Google Chrome.
Chrome.
Yeah, I use Chrome at home. In the office, I use Firefox because Chrome kept crashing for some reason on my work computer.
I use Firefox in the office and what's the...
Safari?
Yes.
Safari. That's true. I use Safari sometimes at home.
I used to use Safari, but then I converted to Chrome. Never going back.
I love Chrome.
I should probably use
Chrome.
Chrome is generally faster and there's really cool plugins and stuff. It's just for some reason my work computer, Chrome crashes with any Flash content and it's like really frustrating.
So you know how Colin's like totally a conspiracy theorist and everything else and he hates like how Google has information on everybody or whatever. When I installed the gaming PC and finally had it up and running for the first time at home, I installed Chrome on it and he was in the room and I opened up Chrome for the first time and I logged in and then it remembered all my bookmarks from here and all my passwords from here and I was like, Colin, look at this is amazing. He's like, this is the problem. This isn't cool at all. And that's all your information on a cloud. I was like, I like that. Thanks, Google. Here's my blood type.
Our final question this week comes from Josh Berry, who asks, I was just wondering, what are your opinions on sleeping in the nude? I know how certain things gross you out, like taking drinks in the bathroom, but I think it feels so good to get into a cool bed and just your bare skin. I do not like sleeping in the nude myself. So even if it's like... sexy time. I got to put my undies back on after that.
Gotcha.
No, I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is this weird to talk about?
No.
No. Only if I make it weird. No. I don't know. I don't have any. Yes, that is how I sleep. And it doesn't matter. It can be like the dead of winter. Doesn't matter.
Oh, see, that's interesting. Because like, if it's really hot out, I'll sleep in just boxers or whatever. I don't think I could go full nude.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't know why, but I don't like it.
Once in a great while, I'll do it.
Oh, man, it's so good. I completely... What was his name? Josh?
Yeah.
I know that feel, bro.
So, there was a kid I knew in college who his roommate, like, insisted upon sleeping nude.
And that's weird, right?
It was, like, a really bad situation. Like, he had to go to the RA about it.
Whatever. Yeah, like, obviously, if, you know, my parents are in town and they're, like, you know, sleeping in the living room, no. Like,
sure.
You have clothes on, but, like... You know,
once in college, I was sleeping in the nude and our house got broken into. Whoa. And so then I had to get up and try to put pants on and stuff. And then my other roommate ran out there, but I wasn't dressed yet. So like I heard him yelling at the people. So I just shook my door really hard, to, like show support that I was coming. There was help coming.
Wait, so I want more on this story.
I know. That's like, that's kind of a big deal. Oh, people, I mean, breaking, like, into your house.
Well, we lived in the Antler House. And Antlers, if you haven't been following GameScoop, this crazy, basically Animal House. We lived in Animal House, but we weren't a frat. But we were like that loose affiliation of groups like frats, where we had the keggers every weekend and everybody knew our house and blah, blah, blah. So, but we were to the point of like, we were so used to, like, it was an Antler House for this group of like 30 dudes. So people would come over all the time, and seven people live in the house anyway. So we never locked the doors. Like, we just never locked them. And one time we had thrown a party the week before, and these guys had come through, I guess, this frat at Mizzou, and they had kind of like cased the thing. They noticed we had a kegerator, so we always had beer and stuff and all this other shit. So I was asleep and I had a girl over, and so but we had just gone to bed, and like but it was like I was the last person awake on our floor, and we went to bed, and so I heard the door open and close, and then I heard whispers and no lights came on. And I was like, fuck, something's wrong. And so I got out of bed, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, don't worry about it, I gotta get dressed, somebody's here, they're not supposed to be here,
blah, I'm gonna handle it.
Exactly. And so I'm trying to find my clothes in the dark, so I didn't alert them yet that I was alert. And then I heard my roommate come out and just go, what the fuck are you doing? And they just all went, whoa. And then I just heard, boom, 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 because they were trying to steal our keg. That's what their whole thing. They'd gone in and they had like this keg of beer. And then they tried to run to my room because they were so disoriented on where they were. And that's when I shook the door. They threw the keg on the ground. They all ran out in different directions. And then we started locking the doors.
Yeah.
Which is probably a good tip anyway.
I have your Antlers hoodie.
You do?
Yeah, oh, I forgot I'm about sorry. That. Yeah, no, I gotta give it back to you. I washed it, because that's what you do when you borrow something. But then I didn't go, like, I went 90% of the way there.
Right.
But didn't go the final 10% of actually giving it back.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the scoops we have for you this week. It's a long holiday weekend here in the U.S., so if all of our U.S. listeners, enjoy the long holiday weekend. All of our international listeners, enjoy the regular weekend.
Enjoy your work week.
Vacation all I ever wanted. Vacation getaway. I don't know what comes before
getaway. I thought it was holiday getaway.
Holiday getaway. Holiday getaway. Okay. That's what we're going to do. I leave you this week with a song called Go by Dirt Monkey and Step Tech. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Andrew. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.